You're listening to Health Radio. Health. At the speed of sound. You're listening to Health Radio. Health Radio. It's time for sound information about your health with Dr. David Friedman and Melanie Cole. It's To Your Good Health, brought to you by Choose for Health, the natural, chewable dietary supplement everybody's talking about. Here are your hosts, Dr. David Friedman and Melanie Cole.
Good day. I'm going to jump right in because our guest today on To Your Good Health Radio is Dr. Keith Block. He combines cutting-edge conventional treatment with individualized and scientifically based complementary and nutraceutical therapies. His long list of credits include being part of Dr. Weil's faculty at Arizona Center for Integrative Medicine, and his latest book is called Life Over Cancer. Welcome to the show, Dr. Keith Block. Here's Dr. David Friedman.
Dr. Block.
Hello, how are you?
Oh, great. Well, great to have you here today. Exciting topic, especially with you on the forefront of some really interesting stuff. I did finish reading your entire book cover to cover. I do want to say what a great job you did. I believe the word doctor means teacher, and you've taken a very technical topic and brought it down to earth for the average Joe. Share with us, what exactly is integrative cancer care, and how does that differ from alternative medicine?
Well, actually, you know, if you start off with alternative medicine, you're really talking about in lieu of conventional therapies.
Right.
And what we've tried to do over 31 years of clinical work in the Chicago area is bring together the best of conventional therapies combined with an individualized, integrative, and really very careful regimen designed to improve patients' health and their biology. Through a combination of strategies that speaks to the individual.
Right, but you're a doctor of oncology. What sparked your interest in going toward the integrative cancer care rather than the norm?
Well, you know, I actually started off in, you know, kind of a general internal medicine track,
right.
And then because of my interest, I think similar to both of yours, I got, you know, very involved, you know, from a young age in interest of nutrition and fitness and how far could you push the envelope.
Right.
I have, you know, my boyhood heroes were Chuck Yeager breaking the sound barrier,
uh-huh,
and Shackleton crossing the transantarctic survival trip in 1914, and these guys that climbed Everest and stuff. And so it wasn't surprising that in my early, you know, years of training, I, you know, started getting a lot of referrals, particularly toward the end of my training and then into practice, with patients with significant malignancies. And so we combined a clinical program, about 30 plus staff, with medical oncologists, internists, physician assistants, nurses. But then we also included a full integrative staff of dietitians, physical therapy, yoga, qigong, a lot of work in the mind-spirit area for patients so that patients really get a full program. And they lay a foundation in terms of optimal health, which is what we do with them first. But we do use all of the conventional tools. We have a full chemotherapy unit, but we do that even in innovative ways. We can talk about that later in terms of,
right,
circadian timing of drugs, which cuts toxicity and boosts the effectiveness of therapy.
So in layman terms, it's kind of like you're the Baskin-Robbins of cancer care. You offer so many different varieties, and something's got to work because you've got so many versus other doctors that may just treat it one, two, or three ways. I know conventional medicine consists of cut it, radiate it, or poison it. And in your book, you explain that current conventional cancer research and treatment needs to change if we're going to win this war on cancer. And my question to you is, why is conventional medicine so resistant to the changes that you've clearly embraced when statistics show same old, just might not be working?
Well, you know, I actually believe, David, that the culture has been educated through a sort of pharma-centric kind of thinking. We were all educated so heavily in surgery and pharmacology, which definitely has its place, but unfortunately we became fixated on it and forgot the patient in the process.
Right.
I actually believe that you have to lay an optimal foundation first, particularly for patients with cancers. It's not about a wind sprint, whereas, dealing with an infection or something might be a kind of quick in and out in terms of treatment and therapy. cancer is a long process, and so you really have to approach it as if it's a marathon. And right. so patients have to be physically trained, and it has to be individualized to their needs. They have to be nutritionally equipped, and you have to deal with the depletion that occurs clinically. You have to deal with the mind, spirit, the stress factors that, of course, a life-threatening diagnosis can bring. And if you begin to lay that foundation properly, and then you match natural products to the drugs that patients are receiving, and you time the drugs, it's our experience with patient care and even data that we've published that you can get better outcomes. Obviously, more research needs to be done in these areas, but our breast cancer data was published in 2009, and it was a 90-patient study, all metastatic patients, and their actual statistical survival was about 2 to 3 times better than what is the norm in terms of expected outcomes.
Right.
So we believe that a strategic plan has to be designed for each patient, that we have to shift from a pharmacentric culture to a pluralistic type of medicine that recognizes all the tools that patients can bring based on real science, real research, and real evidence.
Right. There's an interesting quote that I want to share from your book, and I want to get your input on it, and it was pretty profound. It said, "Cardiovascular disease is no longer the killer it once was. In the same 50 years during which the age-adjusted mortality rate for cancer has remained about the same, that for cardiovascular disease has fallen by about two-thirds." Now, let me ask you, with the incredible amount of money being spent on cancer research, why are we not seeing more leeway being made with that particular disease where others are declining?
Well, we'll speak the same, you know, school on this one, because what we know is that the funding for any of these factors, you know, is homeopathic at best and
right.
kind of embarrassing. The statistics are grim. I mean, when you look at this, you say over 55 years from 1950 to 2005, the cancer mortality has dropped by less than 5%, whereas cardiac disease, as you said, dropped by about 64%. I mean, that's a huge distinction. That's 1,750 jumbo jets crashing per year.
Wow.
If we had three that happened in 3 days in a row, the FAA, you know, would the aviation boards would shut down, you know, flying until we figured it out, as they did in 9/11. And so you would think at this point that there would be some recognition that we're not winning the war, and that thus we have to start thinking more creatively in this regard. But just to your one point in terms of finances, and I'll just do this very quickly, you know that if you introduce something as simple as self-hypnosis interventions into a breast cancer population that's about to undergo breast biopsies, in a paper that I wrote recently and published in Integrative Cancer Therapies, it reduces the cost and surgical time by $700 per patient, which adds up to $138 million a year from one simple 15-minute intervention.
Wow.
So when you start looking at this and you want to talk about natural products, and you say something as simple as glutamine, in a randomized double-blind clinical trial with patients undergoing bone marrow transplants at Brigham and Women's Hospital, the patients actually were able to reduce their hospital stay by a full week, which amounted to over $21,000 in hospital charges. I mean,
wow.
So there's major cost savings, you know, that are possible, let alone clinical outcomes and better quality of lives for patients, if, you know, we started to think more comprehensively and integratively in terms of care. Unfortunately, we're all trained to think in single interventions. So I don't actually like to talk about CAM. I like to talk about an integrative system.
Right.
Because CAM often enough is really a single intervention at a time, much like it's really modeling the conventional medical care model, where we're kind of magic bullet fixated, trying to find, you know, a single intervention that's going to knock down the disease.
Right.
When in fact, you know, what we really know, you know, about these illnesses is that, you know, one has to start thinking far more creatively, because it's not about a single target. The biology of cancer demonstrates that it's multiple targets that have to be addressed, can't be done with drugs alone, because the cost and the toxicity is too high. So to suppress all of these overexpressed proteins, the genes are manufacturing plants that are producing proteins, and they could either work for you or against you. And if they're working against you, you got to do something about it. And so we believe that aggressive nutraceutical regimens that are tailored and individualized to what's going on with that patient clinically, their labs, and their tumor tissue in terms of molecular markers, as well as this biochemical environment, that you can actually make a considerable change and get
Great.
Them in a cancer inhibitory environment instead of a
Great point. Information.
So when we come back, we are still going to be on with Dr. Block and Dr. Friedman. They're talking about complementary integrative cancer treatment. This is exciting, cutting-edge stuff. Stay tuned to Your Good Health Radio. We will be right back.